So in the same way, to try and force the issues wears you out. And when you force a lock, you usually bend the key. So you jiggle gently until you find the right opening. So in the same way, anybody who knows how to conduct business always jiggles the key to find the right moment to turn the lock. And then it all happens as if it were natural and none of it were forced. So therefore, the watercourse will give you the sense that your life is a flowing. The flowing is equally you and what is not you, or called not you. It's the process that's happening. And when you understand that, you'll stop asking questions about it. You will see that all asking of questions about it is, shall I say, tautological. You get explanations, but don't explain. All explanations of what's happening call for further explanations, because big explanations have little explanations upon their backs to bite them, and little explanations have lesser explanations, and so ad infinitum. This is the analytic process that produces the atomic universe, the electronic universe, the protonic universe, and so on and so on. And if you go the other direction, you find the solar system in a galaxy, the galaxy in a system of galaxies, and then goodness knows what. Because obviously the universe, as it seeks to know itself, must run away from itself. As your eyes revolve when you turn to look at them. You are the universe. You are apertures through which it is aware of itself. Holes in the wall, as it were. And so as you look, now you see it, now you don't. It's very simple. So you'll find, therefore, that the big quest, what is it? What am I supposed to do? What is human destiny? Why are we here? These questions will slowly disappear, and that itself will be the answer. The answer will be this is why. And this is what is going on that cannot be described, the Tao. The Tao is simultaneously departing and arriving. Always. That's the meaning of the eternal Tao, the eternal Tao. Well then, to go with the watercourse is called by Lao Tzu Wu Wei. Wu means not. Wei has a complex of meanings which can be action, striving, straining, doing, or best, forcing. Not forcing is Wu Wei. So he says, Tao Wu Wei, Tao does nothing, but nothing is left undone. In other words, Tao accomplishes all things without forcing them. And so, therefore, when you master, that's the wrong word, because it has the idea of superiority. When you come to Wu Wei, by, as it were, coming down, you are working on the same principle as the Tao. And so this is likened poetically to the difference between a willow and a pine when it snows. The pine is a rigid tree, and the snow and ice piles up on the branches until they crack. The willow is a springy tree, and when the weight of the snow is on the branch drops, and the snow falls off, and the branch comes up again. That's Wu Wei. Zhuangzi tells a lovely tale that a sage was wandering along the bank of a river near an enormous cataract. And suddenly, way up beyond the cataract, he saw an old man roll off the bank into the cataract. And he thought, that's too bad. He must be old and ill and is making an end of himself. But a few minutes later, the old man jumped out of the stream way down beyond the cataract and went running along the bank. So the sage and his disciples went scooting after him and said, this is the most amazing thing we ever saw. How did you survive? Well, he said, there's no special way. I just went in with the swirl and came out with the whirl. I made myself like the water, so there was no conflict between myself and the water. So in the same way, when a baby is in an automobile accident, you find often that the baby is uninjured because the baby didn't go rigid to protect itself. So likewise, when you learn to fall in judo, you learn to curl up limply and yet make your arms very heavy so that they flop with an immense thud on the floor. And that making heavy is again like water. And this absorbs the shock. So it isn't, you see, you must realize that the water course is not complete limpness, because water has weight and therefore strength. And that really all energy, the secret of Wu Wei, is that all energy is gravity. We, as a planet, would, if we encountered some obstacle in space, there would be an enormous release of energy. The obstacle would feel that it was being hit by some colossal force. But the planet is falling around the sun. And the sun is falling around something else. The whole universe is falling. But since there's nowhere for it to drop, it's sort of not falling at anything. It's just falling around itself. Sometimes there are collisions. But everything's got so much space that they're very rare. Maybe the ones that didn't have space have been eliminated and became all the dust that's in the sky. But all energy is gravity. That's the secret of judo. And it's really the secret, ultimately, of the puzzle of the relationship of gravity to energy. It's the real secret of E equals mc squared. So now, if you want, you see, to find an intelligent solution to a problem, the work is done with your brain. You have all the necessary intelligence inside this bone. Only most people never use their brains, they use their minds instead. And think that they use their minds like they use their muscles, that you constrain your head and work very hard with it as if it were a muscle to achieve a result. But that doesn't work that way. When you want to find out the answer to something, what you do is you contemplate it. You visualize your problem, your question, as well as you can, and then simply look at it. Because you don't try to find a solution, because any solution that comes in that way is liable to be wrong. But when you've watched it for a while, the solution comes of itself. And that is the way to use your brain. It works for you in the same way as your stomach digests your food, without your having to supervise it consciously. But all our attempts to supervise everything consciously have led to things that aren't too good for our stomachs, and so forth. You know how it goes. So, the reason for that is quite simple. That conscious attention, employing words, cannot think of very much. We ignore almost everything while we're thinking. We think along a single track. But the world isn't going on along a single track. The world is everything altogether everywhere. And you just can't take that into consideration. There isn't time, but your brain can. Because the brain is capable of handling innumerable variables at once. Whereas your conscious attention is not. Or rather, more strictly speaking, verbal symbols are not capable of handling any more than a one very, very crudely simple track. That's why we have to trust our brains. Because, you see, we are much more intelligent than our understanding of ourselves. When a neurologist admits that he's only begun to scratch the surface of understanding the nervous system, he is actually saying that his own nervous system is smarter than he is. It's outwitted him so far. And that's remarkable, isn't it? So, you see, what you are is necessarily more than anything you can understand, for the simple reason that an organism which completely understands itself would be comparable to lifting yourself up by your own bootstraps. Or kissing your own lips. So, there's always this element of the nothing or unknown in any process of consciousness or knowledge. And if that irritates you, remember, you are really addressing yourself to a stupid problem, because fire doesn't need to burn itself any more than a light needs to shine on itself. So for light to ask, what am I? Although it sounds like a sensible question, isn't it? Because, how could you answer it? Let me demonstrate this to you in another and perhaps simpler way. For many, many hundreds of years, human beings have wanted to know, what is isness? What is matter? Substance? Obviously, it seems, there must be a basis for all the shapes that we see. After all, clay is the basis of vessels. Iron is the basis of tools. Wood is the basis of furniture. But what is the basis of that? What is the substance common to everything? Well, we had tried to find out. And that was the reason, at least in the beginning of things, why physicists tried to find out what matter energy is. Well, when you consider the problem, consider the question, ask yourself, what sort of answer are you looking for? Supposing you found out what matter is, in what sort of language would you be able to describe it? And you realize that you couldn't. Because all that language can describe, whether the language be of words or of numbers, is pattern, form. We can measure form. We can outline it. We can explain it. But we couldn't possibly explain stuff. Just basic oomph. There would be no way of talking about it. Therefore, we're asking a silly question. We're asking for a question to be answered in terms which couldn't answer that kind of question. So therefore, we might say, you don't need really the idea of stuff, of matter, because what you've got is form, and I could say it's the form that matters in anything. And you know, you take a double take on that. When you look at the world as form, you will not ask questions about what is it made of? What are these shapes made of? They're because they're not made. It says Dao Wu Wei, and Wu Wei means also not making. Making is different from growing. When a plant grows, it is not patched or put together. All the so-called parts of the plant grow out of it. Whereas when you construct a machine, you assemble the parts and put them together. This is not the way a plant works. It's not the way you work. When you eat your food, it is ridiculous to suppose that this is the raw material of parts which are going to be manufactured in a factory and distributed to screw on to different parts of your body. It's a silly image. So, you don't ask, therefore, what are things made of? The next thing you don't ask is how do they go together? Because here becomes a very, very fascinating thing, that what we are unaware of is that so-called separate things are joined by space. We always think of space as separating, but that which separates also joins. That was why the word cleave is so important. It means to stick to and to divide. So we are cleft by space. When you look at a distant galaxy, we call it a nebula, because we are seeing it from a long way away. When, however, we get close to it, the nebula disappears, and we see individual stars. We are living in the middle of one. From a long way away, all the stars in our galaxy appear to be a thing. But right close up, we don't see that thing. What is it that keeps all these stars together? Oh, we say gravity. Gravity is a word for something. It means simply we don't know what it is. like the ether that was once supposed to be the fluid through which light was transmitted and was discovered not to exist, that we could somehow do without it, that light went through nothing, through space. Marvelous, apparently. So here are all sorts of things not joined to each other by strings, and yet they constitute a thing. And so when we get down to our own atomic structure, we are, if we were looked at closely enough, we would be like galaxies, with our atoms vastly distant from each other. What holds us together? Isn't that the wrong question? Because what matters is the form. It is your shape. Now, if I saw you some time ago and I meet you again, how do I know you? It's I recognize your shape. If I haven't seen you for some time, when I meet you the second time, there is nothing of you that I knew before. All your so-called substance has changed. Just as if I visit a waterfall, a few seconds later, you know, it's not the same water. It's falling the same way, the same style. And so in the same way, when I meet you today, yesterday, the day before, you're the same style, you're the same pattern, but it's all different. So that pattern can come to an end. And then after a while, it can happen again. Just as if you take a newspaper photograph and look at it under a magnifying glass, what you saw with the naked eye as a clean line will appear to be a series of dots. And the dots are alike one another. And there's no strings joining them. Change your level of magnification, and there's a line. You can magnify in time as well as in space. Only you do it a different way. To magnify anything in time, you speed up the time. So we take a fast motion picture of a bean, and we put the bean in on Earth, and we expose one frame per day. And then when we run the movie, we suddenly see the bean moving. It puts out a little feeler, and the feeler goes, and all the stalks and leaves open from it. Out comes a bean, and it eventually crumbles, fades off. Why, we saw a gesture. We saw a happening, which we would never notice with the naked eye. Too slow. Now that is, you see, magnifying time. Now, therefore, let us suppose we had human faces, thousands of faces, which suddenly began as little fetus cells, and we got some turn rapidly into baby face, into child, adolescent, adult, old person, skull and dust, going all these faces coming and going, making their gesture of going through the whole lifespan. Well, we would watch and we would begin to see patterns of continuity. Which, things are moving much too slowly to see these, and things are moving too complicatedly to see them. but stand off at a distance, as it were, and you would see the same rhythms occurring again and again and again and again, so that they would appear from that distance or from time that speeded up to be simply continuity, like the continuity from here to here, which looked at closely is full of space. So you would get what we call in naive language the reincarnation of forms. You, considered as this kind of a wiggle that is recognizable as me, would happen again and again and again, with no spook traveling from one happening to the next. That wouldn't be necessary, any more than it's necessary to have a line joining one dot in the press photograph with another dot, so that they will make continuous sense at a different level. You know, when you watch television, you're actually watching a moving dot. It moves so fast that it creates the image. Now let's supposing you had a different kind of eye altogether that had no memory in it. You would look at the television screen and you would see this dot dancing all across and leaving no trace. You say, what kind of a funny thing is that? Oh, it doesn't make any sense. But seen in another way, you see, all that picture makes sense. So, you see, you don't have to... All these mysteries, like our reincarnation, you don't need any spooky knowledge to understand them. It's all right out in front of you, and you will discover that as I talk to you, I'm not going to tell you a thing that you didn't already know. All this was plain to you. All I will do is put it in words in such a way that you will be able to say, well, that's what I always thought, but I could never explain it.